Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still excited because tonight we will be continuing our study from the book of Isaiah. Now, this study will expose all of the prophecies of Isaiah the prophet about the Messiah of Israel, which points directly to Jesus the Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies actually gives a vivid description of the Savior to be. Many theologians today constantly use verses from the manuscripts of Isaiah. The Jews consider Isaiah a major prophet, and his writings are revered by both Jews and Christians alike. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you'd like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Now, the theme song for the show, as it suggests, the question is for this hour, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. That is taken from John chapter 5, verse 24. So the promise is that if you want eternal life, and not come into condemnation and pass on to everlasting life from death, that you must believe and hear the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That's taken from Luke chapter 13, verse 24. So the promise is, if you want to enter in, you must enter in at the straight gate. For many will try, but if they don't come to the straight gate, they will not be able to come in. Jesus said, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say to you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, will the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Ye also shall sit unto or upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And we know that specifically Jesus was telling that to his 12 apostles. But we are inheritors. So if we follow Jesus and pay attention to what he is doing and share that word of God, we also shall take part in that throne city. So what I'm saying again, my brothers and sisters, are you standing on those promises that Jesus said? Before we start the lesson, I want you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way you can break the codes is through study and learning. Okay, let's go to the study. We're going to go to the fifth, the ninth instruction. We're going to turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. That'll be the reading to begin with. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 25 through 26. And this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. God will always give us a way back to him. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God will always give us a way back to him. And this is what the prophet said about that in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he had stretched forth his hand against them and had smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all of this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? You can always come back to the Lord. Verse 26, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. The Jesus Christ that has been brought in the world is that ensign that we can depend on. Now let's look at our New Testament complement and see how the New Testament compares and agrees with what we just read and identifies a way back to God. This is going to be taken from John chapter 3, and I know that everyone out there listening is familiar with this, John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And this is what Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's our way back, my brothers and sisters, through Jesus Christ. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is the key that we're talking about. Our way back to the Lord is through Jesus Christ. Now, this is what I want you to understand spiritually. In our lives, this is what it means, that Jesus Christ is the only way back to God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That's the God we're talking about, the God of Jesus Christ. So if you are looking for the God of the Christians and or the Jewish Bible, Jesus Christ is the only Messiah. That's what I want you to understand from this instruction, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus is the only way. Now we're going to go back to instruction number 10, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 through 11. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 through 11. And this is the instruction that we're going to go into probably after the break, but I'm going to give you the instruction. Who will go and tell this? That's the instruction. Who will go and tell this? And this is what Isaiah chapter 6, 8 through 11 says. And what I'm going to do, because the break is so close, I'm going to have you mark your Bibles also to the complement in the New Testament, which is going to be Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. That's going to show us the comparison and the agreement to this instruction. After the break.
You will never succeed more than you fail. That's not how it works. You know why? Because failure is a wonderful teacher. It's the only way to learn. You have to fail. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player in the world, he took 946 game-winning shots. He has only made 146 of those. He has missed over 700 times, but he has made 146. You know what they write about? When you make it. They write about when you make it. So guess what? When you get to failing, all you got to do is make one. Matter of fact, when you fail, be glad about it. Every time you fail, you're one step closer. Every time you fail, say, whew, got that out the way. Go to the next one. Fail again? Okay, I got two out the way. What's going to happen is if you just keep swinging, you're going to get a hit.
Do not fear failure, but please be terrified of regret, as giving up is the birth of regret. You will receive 100 doors slammed in your face. You will have 100 moments that will be filled with someone telling you no. But what I ask of you today is to not take no for an answer. Don't be afraid of no's. Be afraid of the possibility of a yes that you have prematurely destroyed because you decided to quit before the clock strikes 12. I love a good no. Please tell me no. Telling me no is like adding fuel to a fire that is now set ablaze because of your single no. I love additional reasons to work harder. Please give me a reason.
You better go inside. You still looking outside for the stuff that's already inside. You still looking for someone to save you when you already your superhero. You looking for some information from somebody when you already got what you need in your head. It's just time for you to get up and be the best version of you. I challenge you to challenge yourself. I challenge you to stop thinking that where you are is enough. I challenge you to go beyond Earth. I challenge you to be comfortable being uncomfortable. I challenge you.
And the problem with some of you in this room, you will never be great because every time you go through pain, every time you go through a problem, every time you go through discouragement, you give up and you quit and you do not understand that at the end of pain is your million. At the end of pain is your reward. At the end of pain is your productivity. At the end of pain is your promise. So do me a favor, stop crying about it and use your energy to get through it. That's what lions do. And if you are a true lion, it does not make a difference what the circumstance is. Lions don't cry. Lions don't give up. Lions don't quit. Lions hunt. We turn tragedy into triumph. That's what we do for a living.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. We're on instruction number 10, and we're looking at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 through 11. And the instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the text, who will go and tell this? Who will go and tell this? This is what Isaiah the prophet said. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive ye not. Now this is part of the prophecy where those who do not believe will not understand. Those who do not believe will not perceive. Verse 11 says, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted and be healed. That is the key to this prophecy. You have to be converted and healed. You got to believe, and then you have to do what the belief tells you to do, or your heart will be heavy. That is who will go and tell this. Verse 11 says, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Isaiah is identifying the end of the time that we have. We are in those times, and this is what's going to happen before the end of time. So who is going to tell this? We, the priests of Jesus Christ, the Christians, we're the ones given the commission to go out and instruct the world on this instance. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go and see how this compares and agrees with what Isaiah prophesied. And this is where we're going to find out what Jesus had to say about this. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. This is where I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. And this is the commission that Jesus gave us about go and telling this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we are the ones that are supposed to be going and telling this. Now, this is what I want you to understand from this instruction spiritually, what it means to us in our lives, that each one of us that calls ourselves a Christian is responsible for planting and watering in God's vineyard. Teaching, meaning telling somebody about Jesus. That is what we are supposed to be doing. Okay, my brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction, instruction number 11. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 7. We're going to be reading verse 1, verse 3 through 7. And this is what the instruction that I want you to pay attention to while we're reading the text says. Consult with God. He makes the way. That is something significant that we should pay attention to. Consult with God. He makes the way. Now let's see what the prophet had to say about that. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1, and this is what it says. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Azariah, the king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. Now, this is what Isaiah is saying, and he's going to complete the thought in verse 3 through 7, and this is what it says. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth to meet Ahaz, thou and Shearajah, thy son, and the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither faint, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce of the anger of Rezin from Syria and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set up a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabaal. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. So we need to consult with God before we make any effort to do anything in our lives. Now let us go to the complement and see what the New Testament has to say, comparing and agreeing with this. We're going to go to the book of James. We're going to look at chapter 1, 5, and 6. And this is what it is identifying, comparing, and agreeing with consulting God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth it not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him not ask other than in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. That is so significant that we are to ask for that wisdom from God, but we have to have the faith and ask correctly. Now, this is what I want you to understand spiritually about this, what this means to us in our lives. That God said to Josiah, I will, or not to Josiah, but to Joshua, I will neither fail thee nor forsake thee. if you keep my commandments. And we have inherited this promise, but we have to ask and keep it. That's significant. We know that God said he will never leave us nor forsake us, but we have to respond to that, my brothers and sisters, and that's what I want you to realize in this instruction. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 12, and we're going to go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14 through 17. And this is the instruction I want you to understand as we read the text. One of the mysteries of the milk and honey and butter. This is one of the mysteries that Isaiah is identifying of milk and honey and butter. And it is taken from Isaiah chapter 14, verse, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 through 17. And this is what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. So that is critical. We need to eat the gifts and fruits of God. That will keep us from the evil. Verse 16 says, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be shaken of both her kings. So that is, again, telling us, or I'm saying is telling us, that the devil has been forsaken. Jesus has come and has eradicated what he has put in place. And the Holy Spirit he has replaced with what the devil has put in place. And that the gifts and fruits of God is what's going to give us what we need to overcome this. Now we're going to have our break, and after the break, we'll continue.
Felt like I was, you know, stuck. It felt like I had a shadow of heaviness and a shadow of darkness over me that never left. Felt like I was expecting something bad to happen to me no matter where I went. No matter what I did, I expected something bad to happen. It definitely started sophomore year of high school. Fear and anxiety, panic attack, depression, like you name it, I had it. I was still trying to go to school, but it, like every day it was just, I couldn't take it. I would try to, you know, get out of class as much as I can because of panic attacks. So then finally, you know, I was able to ask my mom if I could be homeschooled, and then she said yeah. So now that I'm homeschooled, I kind of like shielded myself in the house. I basically drowned myself out with video games so that I didn't have to think about my problems anymore. So I was playing video games from like sun up till whenever, and then as I'm trying to go to sleep, I can't really sleep. So I would worry myself all night for no reason, and then I would end up like throwing up. It was like I was in a, you know, imprisoned in my own head, and I couldn't get out of it because I couldn't even leave my house. You know, I couldn't even go a block away from my house without panic attacks and trying to get the driver to turn around and bring me back home because like I just couldn't leave. And then so it got so bad where I just finally went back to my mom and told her I couldn't take it anymore. And then she said, you got two options. You can either give it to God and let him take care of it, or you can go to the doctors and we'll get you on medication. And I didn't want to get on medication, so I said if I didn't have to, I might as well try the other option. That's what I did. I started to read, as you know, read the word as much as I could. And when I came to church, I started to really try to pay attention instead of just sitting there. And it was like pastor was speaking to me, you know, like all the time. It was like his word was for me. That would draw me to come back more, which, you know, led me to meet Pastor Austin. And he encouraged me to come to youth, which I did. So now coming to youth and experiencing, like, you know, seeing kids my age, the way how they're having fun and they aren't worried about anything and how, like, I'm basically supposed to be living. So that was encouraging. And then it all started to change when I got involved as much as I can, even though I didn't want to, you know, because obviously the enemy tried to keep me away from it. I would push myself. I would push myself to get involved where I could be around the right people. And I felt good. Once you came and did it, you felt good. You felt accomplished. And so it made me even feel better. And so getting involved, volunteering at any event I could, women's conference, I've, you know, volunteered in youth as much, now Rev Night as much as I can, really helped me in that process. So back then it felt like I was had a heaviness over me that I couldn't shake. It felt like I was in darkness every day, all day. until, you know, I was able to actually come to God, give it all to Him, and it was like a light switch to where now I'm not in this dark place anymore. I'm like headed toward a light that's never ending, you know, it's always shining on you. So I just want to thank Pastor David, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Austin, and the whole Faith Church community for helping me through the time of need and being so caring and loving when I needed them to be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my brothers and sisters, here we go again. We're looking at one of the mysteries that the prophet Isaiah discovered or shared with Israel about the milk and the butter and the honey. Now to complete the reading of that mystery of verse 22 of Isaiah chapter 7 is where we're going to conclude. This is what Isaiah said in chapter 7, verse 22 about the mystery of the milk and butter and honey. He said, "And it shall come to pass, for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land." And the abundance is the key. Because when Jesus told us about glorifying God in the Gospel of John, he said, "Hereby is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." So the abundance of this is key. Now what we want to do is compare and agree with this and see what the New Testament has to say concerning it. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verse 25. And this is what Jesus said about the mystery today that we should be responding to. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. "Therefore I say unto you," Jesus is saying, "take no thought for your life. This is the mystery now, which ye shall eat or which ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment?" Okay, now we're going to get to the mystery. Jesus is telling us, we should not be responding to that area of our lives. Why? This is why. Verse 31 through 33 tells us, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of them." Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is the key. The mystery. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." So we know that the kingdom of God and his righteousness is the thing that we should be seeking after. And that is where the mystery resides. Because what is the kingdom of God like? We already know that in the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, maybe 15 different examples Jesus has given us that the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. That's what we should be looking at in our study to get the understanding of the mystery. Now, this is what I want you to realize during of this instruction, that the intent to respond to your life spiritually, this is what it should mean, that each mystery that is revealed to us will feed us more of God to sustain us while we are this side of heaven. That is what I want you to understand, that we must study and approve ourselves. We must delve into these mysteries and break them out so they can become clear to us and explain to us what we need to know to continue on in this experience we're having. Now let's go to the next instruction, instruction number 18. We're going to go back to Isaiah. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 8. And we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 4. And this is the instruction we want to draw from the text we're reading, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. "An example is made of God's people because of disobedience." We know this is constantly occurring, more especially in our society today, those examples. But this is the one that Isaiah identified in his writing to the Israelites. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. And this is what it says about the disobedience, an example given to those who disobey God. "Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pencil concerning this individual. And I took unto myself a faithful witness to record, Azariah the priest and Zechariah the son of this other notable Israelite. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Mahezeshelahashbah, before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoils of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. Now let's go to verse 14 through 17 to conclude this thought of Isaiah. This is what he said. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So this individual that we were talking about, this Mahezeshelahashbah, he is the one that is going to be the rock of offense against the nation of Israel. And we know today that Jesus the Christ is that rock of offense against the world. Now, this is what verse 15 says. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. And we know that Jesus has caused a lot of the nation's people to stumble and fall and be snared. Verse 16 says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord and hide his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Jesus is returning again one day, and when that occurs, that's when the end will come. Now let us go to our compliment, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 5, or verse 1 to begin with, and see how the example of what we should be doing, Paul has given us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So this is to begin the example that no one is without excuse, Paul is saying. Verse 5 says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And he was giving us the example of what happened to Israel in the wilderness because they did not respond according to God's will. Verse 6 says, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So we should know that worldliness, remember in 1 John we were told, do not love the world or the things in the world. For he that loves the world and the things in the world is not of God. And the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's what we're talking about, my brothers and sisters. Now, verse 11 says of chapter 10, now all of these things happen unto them for examples. All of what we're seeing going on around us are the examples of this lust. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we know that we should be refraining from this. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So if you're involved in this, you're still breathing in and out, you have a chance for repentance. And that's the key. What Jesus brought us for our salvation was through repentance. Now, this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives. So if misfortune is a constant in your life, consider obeying and finding out more about God's commandments. Consider and find out more about God's commandments. That's the key. If you're having a lot of misfortune in your life, you should realize that there's something wrong with what you're doing. Now let's go back. Let's go to instruction. After the break, we'll continue.
Understand how much it costs you to survive bad times. What they don't understand is that even when you are expecting something good to happen, it costs you something. That hope costs you something. That expectation costs you something. It takes something for you to stand in a position of readiness, expecting good things to happen that don't. The Bible said that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And I thought that by now I would have been married. I had planned a wedding for my 20s, and now I'm 42. The numbers have reversed, and I'm still by myself. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I thought I would have my degree, but every time I get ready to go back after my degree, something sets me back. And when you keep wanting something that keeps evading you, if you're not careful, it will wear you down. To wait for something, anticipating it, and it doesn't happen, costs you more than somebody who wants nothing. That's why we have so many people who fall into the abyss of wanting absolutely nothing, because sometimes it is easier not to want anything than it is to want it and not get it. I want you to understand then that while they were waiting on the bridegroom to come, they were burning oil. While nothing was happening, they were burning oil. You have to burn some oil to be able to wait. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You have to be tough to wait. You have to be tough to work all day and go to school at night. You have to be tough to take two part-time jobs and put them together and try to make it do. You have to be tough. It may not happen, but I want it. I may not be there, but I want to. It may not be in my hand, but I'm snatching after it. I may not have apprehended, but I'm in the press. I may not climb the mountain, but I'll die with dirt in between my fingernails, because I will never lay there and accept where I came from to be where I'm going. My history is not my destiny. That's why I don't care when you say you knew me when. I don't care how many people knew me when. Until you know me now, you don't know anything at all. My history is not my destiny. You said, it's late, but I'm still waiting. I'm older, but I'm still waiting. I've had setbacks, but alas, alas, still waiting.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 14. We're reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and we're going to read verse 6 and verse 7 also. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. God's Son is also known by these names. Now, we know that Jesus the Christ didn't come on the scene until the New Testament. So Isaiah is prophesying some of what the Messiah's name will be called back to Israel in those days. And this is what Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says. The people that walked in darkness has seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And verse 6 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And here are the names, my brothers and sisters, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, of course, we're talking about a prophecy. So we understand that each one of these names are pointing directly to Jesus the Christ. Now, what we want to do is go to our New Testament complement, and we want to see what it has to say about the same. We're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 29 through 32. And this is what the Apostle Peter told all of those people at Pentecost who were looking for the Messiah. He said, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Now, in the days of the Old Testament, Christ represented the Messiah. In fact, that's what Christ stands for, the Messiah. Verse 31 says, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul would not be left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So Peter is beginning to unfold what is who we are supposed to respond to today. Verse 32 says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So now Jesus is connected to the Christ. That is saying he is the Messiah. That is what Peter is telling those people that came to take part in the Pentecostal festival. Verse 33 says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. And that is what we are supposed to respond to. Today it is Jesus the Christ. Now, again, this is what it should mean spiritually to us in our lives. Today and forevermore, the name Jesus Christ is our power unto God's salvation, only to those who believe it. That is what's so important, my precious brothers and sisters. You have to believe it in order to achieve it. If you do not believe it, meaning no works or faith without works is dead, then it will not be given to you, this salvation from Jesus Christ. Let's go now to instruction number 15. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verse 9 through 21. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 9 through 21. And this is the instruction that we want to pay attention to as we read the text. Regardless of our disobedience, God will not forsake us entirely. Remember what we just read or just studied in an instruction earlier, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Now we're looking at the repentance that comes with Jesus Christ that gives us the point that if we disobey, we have an avenue back to Christ or back to God through Jesus Christ in repentance. This is what Isaiah chapter 9, verse 9 through 21 says. And all of the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that they in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. What this is telling us is that even though in our day we have all of what is besetting us, the devil and all of what else is part of the world, we still have Jesus Christ that we can come to through repentance. Verse 13 says, the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off Israel and its branch and rush in one day. The incident and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. So we got to be careful of all of what we are being taught today, more especially outside of Christianity, because that is what this prophecy is pointing at, the disobedience. Verse 17 says, therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall they have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh follies. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is outstretched still. That means repentance through Jesus Christ is still available to those who do disobey and realize that they have. Verse 18 says, for wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briar and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting of the smoke. Though the wrath of the Lord of hosts is in the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire, no man shall spare his brother. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man of the flesh of his own, and Manasseh and Ephraim and Manasseh, and they shall together be against Judah. But his anger is not turned away, but his hand is outstretched still. So what we're being told, Israel is being told, that even if they go into the far left of what God has commanded them not to do, they can still return if they respond to the Messiah or respond to God's law. And that's what Israel is being told by the prophet. Now, chapter 10, verse 1 and 4 concludes this by saying, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to turn away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. After the break, we'll continue.
When I was at the University of Florida, for every home game, we would get in the bus at our hotel, and we would drive right by the stadium, and we would stop at what's called the Gator Walk. And every game I played there, there was probably 20 to 40,000 fans at this Gator Walk, ready to greet us as we get off the bus. I would see all these people. I gotta tell you, there were a lot of voices that started to hit me. One of the first voices that instantly hit me was pride and arrogance. Because I would look out and I would see thousands of jerseys with my number on it. I would look out and I would see Bible verses that they were wearing because I wore them. And so for a second you thought, dang, I'm something. They're here for me. This is pretty cool. I must be somebody. There's a picture that I stumbled across. And it's one of Time's 100 most influential images of all time. And it's a picture of this young girl. She's on her way from her village to a feeding center not far away. And she's so malnourished and she's moving so slow that this vulture is waiting to attack. So the young man that took this picture, I think there was probably something in his heart that he wanted to do good. He wasn't sure. So he captured this picture and he just waited, and then the vulture got closer. So he kind of shooed the vulture off and then he walked away and the vulture would come right back. And he was told, because of some of the sicknesses in the areas, don't touch anybody, don't do anything. And so he didn't. He did nothing. Because apparently the cost was too much. So he left. He went back. The New York Times published this photo in 1993. In 94, he won the Pulitzer Prize for this photo. 4 months after this, he chose to end his life. You see, every single one of us, we have a chance to be successful in life. And you know what? I hope you are. I really do. I hope you're successful. There's nothing wrong with being successful. But success is just about you. But significance is about other people. You see, That man that took that picture, he had success. That's one of the greatest honors a photographer could ever have. But obviously it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So what's going to be enough for you? You see, success is great. You can do a lot of things with it, but it's not going to be fulfilling. And you can never forget that sense of urgency, that it's not about your timeline, it's about their timeline. While you might have 30, 40, 50 years, they have days, minutes, moments. She had moments, but it wasn't worth it to go pick her up. It wasn't worth it to give her a hug. It wasn't worth it to tell her about the gospel. Yeah, I won a Pulitzer Prize, but what does it matter? What does it matter? It doesn't. And I think the greatest tragedy in life is we're going to look back one day and say, I was successful in things that don't matter. I want you to be successful. But more than anything, I want you to be significant. And when you live for Jesus and you love people, I believe you're going to have a life of significance.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 9 through 21, we are reading this instruction. Regardless of our disobedience, God will not forsake us entirely. And we were right at, we were reading actually from chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. And the fourth verse we were on just before the break came in, and this is what it says: without me, they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. But for all this, his anger, meaning God, is not turned away, but his hand is outstretched still. So what the prophet is telling Israel, that even though they were going through all of these disobediences, still God had his hand outstretched to bring them to him. Now what we want to do is go to the compliment. We're going to go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read verse 11 through 13, and this is where Jesus is telling us again about how we can overcome through this, even though we're disobedient. This is what Jesus says. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and divide them unto, and he divided them unto his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now what we are listening to this parable is that the younger son of the two was disobedient. Okay, and now this is what concludes. We're going to go to verse 29 through 32, and this is significant, showing us, as Isaiah would say, that the hand of God was still outstretched still. This is what Jesus said in verse 29. He said, and he answering said to his father, this is the second son, lo, these many years did I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. What had happened is the younger son came back home, and the father was so glad to see him, he made a feast. Verse 30 says, but as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And this is what the father said to him, the second son. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy son was dead, this thy brother was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So this is where Jesus comes in and gives us the understanding of repentance. As long as you are breathing in and out this side of eternity, if you can get back to God, you will be received by him. Now, this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That repentance is our way back to God at any time in our life. But be careful how you play it, because only God knows if you are serious, meaning you might say that I will wait until the end and then I will repent. Well, your heart will tell on you. God will know. You, me, and others will not know, but God will know. So that's the key. Repentance is the key, is what I'm trying to share with you as the instruction. Okay, let us go now to instruction number 16. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 10. We're going to be reading verse 12 through verse 15. And as we read the text, this is the instruction that I want you to focus on and pay attention to. God's righteousness and judgment has no bounds. We know that God loveth righteousness, and God also loveth judgment. And to give you a little background on what I think that righteousness is, it would be correctness or uprightness or rightness. It could be rectitude. It could be integrity. What it means is that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. God loves that. Now, I'm going to tell you from what the psalmist says, God loveth both righteousness and judgment, that judgment is correction. It is the discipline. It is rebuke. It is reprimand. It is punishment. It could also end up being destruction. Now, what the instruction tells us, God's righteousness and judgment has no boundaries. So you can see that from Alpha to Omega, God has love for all that what he does. That's the key that I'm trying to share with you. Now, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 12 through 15 reads this way. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he saith, by the stretch of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bonds of the people, and have robbed their treasuries, and have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. Meaning in this instance that this king has overcome Israel, and who can be against him? Verse 14 says, and my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wig or opened the mouth or peeped. Verse 15 says, shall the axe boast itself against him that hewn therewith? Meaning the prophecy is that, can you go against God, or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? Meaning, again, God gives you the ability to be who you are, as if the rod should shake itself against them that lifted it up, or if the staff should lift it up as if it were no wood. So what it's saying, again, within God's righteousness and judgment has no boundaries. Even if you think that you are getting away with whatever it is, there still is punishment. And judgment is part of that punishment. And again, it has no boundaries. It could be to your destruction. Now, this is what we're going to see, what in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how the New Testament compares and agrees with what I just told you. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to be reading verse 24 through 28. And this is what it says. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. This is Jesus telling us, or this is what Paul is giving us instructions, that at the end, that Jesus is going to give everything that is under his authority to God the Father. So this tells us again that God's righteousness, and after the break, we'll continue.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
I'm going to have to complete that last instruction next time we meet next week. Now, as we say goodnight to all of our listeners, remember what Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." God bless and good night.